Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
What a great day. I just want to thank Miles and Bonnie for being here today with us. Give them a big clap. Pastor Miles has spoken so much into my life, and just a great honor to have them here this morning. You can be seated. It is so good. As was already stated, my name is Bronson, along with my wife Gabby. We are the location pastors here at Elevation Church, Melbourne West. And it is so good to have you here today on our Legacy Offering Day. And I'm believing that today is going to be a breakthrough day for our church. You know, we sang that song, I Know a Breakthrough is Coming. I just believe that that is a prophetic word for our church, a song for our church. And I'm praying that this is a moment in the history of our church where we dreamed big, we asked big, and we saw God come through in a mighty way. It's a time where mindsets were challenged, where attitudes were convicted. It's a time where faith was increased, declarations were made, prayers were prayed. It's a time where we rose up in the Spirit and we saw God come in a mighty way in our church and in our lives. And so today, I hope that you've come with that attitude and expectation to see God move in your life. And today, I want to encourage you, today is not a spectator sport. Today is a participation. So if as I'm preaching, you agree with something I'm saying, why don't you say something like yes or amen? Come on, don't just sit there today and just suck it up. Let the Spirit of God that is within you come outside of you this morning and just encourage me and encourage the person next to you. This last month, we've been talking about legacy. And we made this statement that inheritance is what we leave for people, but legacy is what we leave in people. My son Ethan, he's here this morning. He's 10 years old and he's got life all figured out. He tells me this. He says, Dad, I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to get a job. And I'm not going to buy a house. He goes, I'm going down a different route. I got different plans. And this is what he says to me. He says, Dad, one day when you and Mum die, I'm going to get my inheritance, which is the house. And I'm going to play video games all day and sleep on the couch. That's his plan. That's his big plan. Ethan is waiting for his inheritance. Man, he's ruthless. I think that's the Italian, the Sicilian coming out in him. Because the Maori side, we're not about that at all, you know. See, he's waiting for an inheritance. But at Elevation Church, we're not so much about inheritance. We're more about legacy. We're more about what we're going to leave in people. See, inheritance happens only once, but legacy is something we can leave in people's lives every day of our life. Something we can leave in them every day. And the big question is this, what legacy are you leaving in people's lives? You don't need to wait to some date in the future to leave an inheritance. You can leave a legacy in the lives of people around you today, right here, right now, this week, in the coming months. What is it that I am leaving, that I'm depositing in the people around me? And I want you to ask that question of yourself today. See, to be legacy-minded is to think at least three generations ahead. And our lead pastor, Pastor Ross Abraham, has been sharing this thought around think three. He's been encouraging us to think three. He showed us how in the Bible it says that God says, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. Three generations. He talks about generational, being a generational God. And I believe today, God is saying here in this place, I am your God. I am the God of your children. And I am the God of your grandchildren. Whether that's natural or spiritual, God is saying that in this place this morning. And I want to leave a legacy in this generation, my children's generation, and my grandchildren's generation. I want to leave a legacy that they would look back and say, you know, maybe granddad's a bit old right now, but I heard some stories, some faith stories, some faith statements that he made when he was younger, when he was 40s, you know, that he did to see God do something amazing. And as we think three, as we think generationally, as we bring our legacy offering today, could it be the actions that we do today? Could it be the steps that we take spur people on to a greater faith in Jesus Christ? Is it possible? Is it within the realms of God's ability that the words that we speak, the things we do, the way we live, the example that we set, it leaves a legacy in the generations that follow us? Might they look at our lives and say, hey, if they could do it, I can do it. If they had faith to believe, we can believe. If they gave, we can give. If they were stretched, we can stretch. If they love Jesus, we can love Jesus. If they believed, if they left a legacy, we can leave a legacy. If they did it, we can do it too. And that's what I want to encourage us this morning, that what we are doing is leaving a legacy for those that follow us. And that's the legacy that I'm talking about. Lives set on fire, lives passionate for Christ, who want to see Jesus glorified and God move in a mighty way. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to open them up to 2 Kings chapter 3, and I want to share a story with you. I believe it's a timely story, and it's 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 4, it says this: King Mesha of Moab raised sheep. He was forced to give the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and another 100,000 rams. When Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. In old times, what would happen is there would be conflict, there would be battles, and the nation or the city or the town or the kingdom that lost, it would be forced to pay tribute to the conquering armies. A tribute was a form of tax, and it might be money, it might be people, it might be resources. And we see that was what was happening here. Moab has been defeated by Israel at some point of time around when Israel conquered the land of Canaan, and now they are paying tribute to Israel. They're giving resources, 200,000 lambs and rams every year. And what happens is the old king, King Ahab, he dies. And so in the kingdom of Moab, they think, well, the old king is dead. Let's rebel. There's a new king coming in. Let's see what is it that we can maybe get away with. And so they rebel against the kingdom of Israel. And there's a new king, and his name is King Jerome. And he can't have this. If he lets this nation rebel against him, it's not going to be good. He's going to appear weak in his own kingdom and outside of his kingdom. It's going to possibly encourage some other nations that are paying tribute and taxes to rebel as well. It might even lead to nations gathering together to attack the nation of Israel. And so he can't allow this, so he readies his troops. We go on to verse 6. So King Joram set out from Samaria and prepared Israel for war. His first move was to send a message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Would you join me and fight him? I love the first step of King Joram. His first step is to send messages to his neighboring king. His first step of action is a big pointer to how we should live life. He says, would you come and help me against this enemy that has arisen against me? And King Joram knows we can't fight the battles of life alone. We need brothers, we need sisters who are beside us. We need people that are in the dark times, in the times that we need victory, when it seems like the enemy is knocking on our door, that we can have a victory, that we can borrow the strength of another. And that's why church is so important. That's why being part of the church community is so important. That's why being part of a life group is important. When the battles of life come, you're not alone. And you can find brothers and sisters like that here at Elevation Church. I love the response of King Jehoshaphat. Can I just pause there for a minute? What a name, Jehoshaphat. Man, well, I don't think we hear that name enough. So if you're going to have kids, you can name them that. I'm not going to, but you can name them that, Jehoshaphat. Anyway, it continues on to verse 7. I am with you all the way, said Jehoshaphat. My troops are your troops. My horses are your horses. Which route shall we take? You know, when we reach out in need, that's the kind of response we want to hear, yeah? I'm with you all the way. When you ask someone for assistance, when you cry out, when you let them know what's going on in your life, that's the response you want. That's the response that brings strength It brings confidence. It brings assurance in your life. I want to leave a legacy of I'm with you all the way. I wanted that to be a part of the legacy of my life. And today, with our legacy offering, as we give, that's what we're saying. We're saying, I'm with you all the way. We're saying, Pastor Bronson, I'm with you all the way. We believe in what God is doing here. We believe in the future of our church. We believe in the leadership, where we're heading. We believe the best is yet to come. We believe we were born for more. I'm with you all the way. And can I tell you, on behalf of Gabby and myself, that we're with you all the way. Can I let you know that we're here for you. We're here for your family. We're here for your children, your marriage. We're here when times are great. We're here when times aren't so good. Gabby and I, we're with you all the way. You have pastors who are with you all the way. So the kings of Israel and Judah and Edom, these kingdoms, they go out to fight the king of Moab. And here's where something interesting happens. So we continue on to verse 9. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom started out on what proved to be a looping detour. After 7 days, they had run out of water for both army and animals. They ended up on a looping detour. Ever tried to take a shortcut and it ends up being a long cut? Ever had someone say, hey, just go this way, I know a quicker way, and it ends up taking longer than you thought, than you expected? You know, these guys spend 7 days going around in circles to the point where they now run out of water. And they're in dire straits. Well, last week, I went for a hike, a 50-kilometer hike in the Gold Coast hinterland. And I know I talked about that last week, but I'm going to keep bragging. I did. So you're going to hear it again today. And Pastor Miles was there. And so was Pastor Ross and several other LPs. Anyway, on the second day of our hike, we were hiking into a remote camp where we believed there was no water, where we were told there was no water. And so in preparation for that, we decided, well, we better stock up on water because it's very important to have water, to be hydrated when you're hiking and you're sweating and you're losing all this water from your body. And so 8 kilometers away from the camp, we stopped at this diner takeaway place, and we pretty much brought out all the water. Like there was no water left in the fridges. We just brought it out, and we did the calculations. And it's like, okay, we need water to get to the place where we're hiking. So we need some water for that. We need water for our dinner at nighttime because we had dehydrated food and we needed that to rehydrate the food. We need water for any tea or coffee or drinks that we might drink overnight. We need water for breakfast the next morning. Maybe some of the guys needed water to clean themselves up. I don't know what was going on there. We needed water to hike out of the rainforest. We needed a lot of water. And so I was erring on the side of caution. I brought up like 6 liters of water, 10 water bottles, and I just shoved them in my backpack. I was like, I'm not running out of water. The other guys, they can die if they don't prepare well enough. It's all my water. I actually tipped some water out. I had too much water at the end of the camp, but I wasn't going to run out of water. And these armies, they're in a desperate situation. They've now find themselves not only having a nation rebel against them, but now also the possibility that the armies, the men that they have sent out to fight them, they're going to lose them too. They're going to die of dehydration, of thirst. They're going to be in this situation. And it's at this moment that they turn to God. And I find it very interesting in this passage of Scripture that they didn't actually turn to God before they left and seek God, but they turn to God now when they're in a bad situation. How many people can relate to that today? How many people have done that in their life? But it tells us something really important. God is always there for us. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past story is, what is happening in your present. God is always there for us. And I want to encourage you today, if you need God in your life today, call out to Him. He'll come. He'll rescue you. He'll do a miracle on your behalf. Today, maybe you're in this place and you don't know God. There's never been a moment in your life where you've said, I want to know you more. I want to know your son Jesus and invite you into my life. I want to give you an opportunity at the end of my message today to do that and to receive Jesus Christ and to know the power of His resurrection in your life. What happens is that they talk among themselves and they ask, man, there's got to be a man of God around here somewhere. and they go looking for an Elevation Church. They can't find an Elevation Church just yet. We'll probably get there one day. We've got 11 locations and we're expanding, but they can't find that. So they find a prophet, a man of God. In fact, they find Elisha. They find Elisha, a very well-known prophet, probably one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And they come before him and they ask him, "Hey, Elisha, can you pray on our behalf? Can you intercede on our behalf? Can you seek God on our behalf to ask him to do a miracle for us?" And so they do that, and Elisha says, "Yeah, sure, bring me the minstrel. I want to worship God." And can I encourage you today in your life? Worship isn't just something that is about singing songs. It's also about doing something in the spirit realm. It can change atmospheres. It can change environments. It can change things in a moment. And so he prays and worships God, and then he brings the following word for the three kings in verse 19. He then said, this is Elisha, "God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind, you won't see the rain, but this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill." He says this is easy for God to do. Then he continues, "He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortifications, level the key villages, clear cut the orchards, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones." Man, they're going to go to town on this place. They're going to have a great victory. Elisha says to them, God is going to do a miracle. You're going to receive water, and you're also going to defeat your enemy, but, there's a caveat, but, you have to dig some ditches first. You have to get out and dig some ditches. The kids could come, that'd be great. Can you imagine this command going out through the troops? So they gather the generals together, they tell them what they have to do, so they go out, and then the majors, and then the lieutenants, and then all the way down to the sergeants, and they're telling the men, hey guys, I know that you're dehydrated, I know you're parched, you're thirsty, I know you're a bit lethargic, but here's what we need you to do. We need every man to get out their shovel and to go and dig a ditch. And we need you to do that now, because as we do that, God is going to bring a miracle and bring water to us. Can I say, when you're fatigued and you're not feeling well and you're weak, the last thing you want to do is dig a ditch. The last thing you want to do is dig a hole. You don't have the energy. But if you know the difference between digging a ditch or not digging a ditch is life or death, let me tell you, you're going to dig that ditch. If you know the difference is life or death, you're going to dig that ditch. See, to receive God's miracle, you have to follow his directive. And here's the great thing about what God asked them to do. Every single man was capable of digging a ditch. He wasn't asking them to do something outside of their capacity. He wasn't asking them to do something outside of their ability. They were able to do it. And our legacy offering today is within the capacity and ability of every single person here today. We're not asking you to sell up all your possessions to become a missionary and go into the darkest regions of Southeast Asia or Africa or overseas, the Middle East. We're not asking you to do that. We're not asking you to totally change your life and become a pastor and start a new Elevation Location Church. But if you want to do that, that's great. We want to speak to you. We're not asking you to do that. What we are asking you to do is to give. We are asking you to be a part of what we're doing here today. And it's something that all of us can be part of, just like those men who dug those ditches. Something we can be part of. See, the men, they dig their ditches and then they go to sleep for the night. And in verse 20, it says this, "In the morning, it was at the hour of morning sacrifice, the water had arrived, water pouring in from the west, from Edom, a flash flood filling the valley with water." God comes through just like he said he would. God comes through, he brings water, and it refreshes them, it rehydrates them, it brings them back into strength, and God can do a miracle in your life too. And God can do a miracle in this church. And today, I believe God is asking us to dig some ditches. I believe, symbolically, God is saying, hey, would you dig some ditches today? And our legacy offering is a picture of that. Our legacy offering is our ditch. And I believe he'll do a miracle in our midst. I believe we'll reach our legacy goal greater than any other goal we've had before. Double what we were believing for last year. I believe we'll reach that legacy goal. I believe we'll be blessed for our sacrificial giving. But more than that, I believe God wants to do something far greater than just that. The dig we ditch, the price we pay, the sacrifice we make, the cost that it costs us, it's more than just us and the miracle that we might receive. It's more than just us and our own and our family. See, it's about the eternal impact we will make for the kingdom of God. It's about the eternal legacy that we will leave in people's lives. It's about the lives of people who come to know Jesus. There's so many more miracles to see, so much more of God to encounter. There's so much more of those things that happen, so many more people to reach. And today, the actions and decisions we make right now will leave a legacy.